What do you think the effect is on the institution of council itself to have the mayor chairing these meetings?
Well, I think it's to have the mayor chairing it and to have the perception. I mean, one of the councilmen that we heard in the audio clip, you know, talked about the optics of it, and in a sense, that's right. But it's much more than optics. It's not just public relations. It's people being able to rely on, is the voters being able to rely on council being run properly, even when the voters are not paying particular attention, right? You want to know that even if it weren't in front of TV cameras and radio mics, that, you know, people in positions of power would use that power appropriately, would recuse themselves from decisions where they have a conflict.
Richard, what do you make of the comments we heard from the councillors we spoke to yesterday on Main Street about whether the mayor should have chaired the meeting?
Well, as Professor McDonald said, I agree with, there's just briefly, there's frustration, and it has become emotional as opposed to not having a mechanism to address the issue. And a mechanism means a robust conflict of interest statement, and how to manage the conflict, and how to manage a conflict when you're actually in conflict and you're chairing a board. Now, these sorts of things are not, they're just developing. The Ontario Securities Commission came out right after the global financial crisis with a conflict of interest statement for applicable to all TSX listed companies. Crown corporations are beginning to develop these statements. Every TSX listed company has to have a code of conduct, and they have to have a mechanism. And whistleblowing legislation is just coming out of the SEC as of last week. So it's not, you know, not to be overly hard on the situation. These things are developing, and these best practices are developing. But what a situation like this does is it opens up an opportunity to address these sorts of concerns and controls and practices. So I see this more of an opportunity as opposed to, you know, what I'm hearing on the tapes, which is, you know, largely a political digging in as opposed to moving forward and addressing the concerns. So it is an opportunity that's missed. And you have a window here of, you know, probably 2 or 3 months to begin to address some of these deficiencies.
Richard LeBlanc, if the city needs a code of conduct to spell out such matters, whose responsibility is it to come up with one? The province, which legislates the municipality, or the city itself?
Often the codes are not, and conflict of interest statements are not legislation based, but they're organic, and there are best practices. I think under these circumstances, it's probably not a good idea to have it drafted internally. You should have some external advice, and typically the audit committee is responsible for overseeing the administration of the code. So not to have a code of conduct and an enforcement policy of the code and of a conflict of interest statement is in itself anomalous. So the audit and finance committee should have the authority under its mandate and under the chair's mandate to retain outside advice, which could be a law firm, an accounting firm, a consulting firm, but have some independent oversight and contribution of best practices, because these codes have developed and there are best practices under these circumstances. So it probably, in light of this current scandal, if I can use that word, it probably should not be developed internally. And it should not be drafted by solicitors. And risk, by the way, should, as I understand from the report, is tucked in under the legal department. That's anomalous as well. Risk should be separate, or the risk function should report directly to the audit committee.
So if there just to clarify, if there needs to be some leadership from within City Hall, where should that come from? The audit and finance committee or somewhere else?
That's the most natural place and most practiced place for enforcement oversight of a code of conduct is the audit, and the audit committee of any organization should have that authority in their mandate. And the mandate should be publicly disclosed of all the 5 or 6 committees, which is not the case. So if you go to any major organization now, the mandates of the committee and the code of conduct should be publicly available on the website, and that's not the case currently.
Will you be talking about what happened at our council in your classes with your students?
I will. I presume, and that's another unfortunate circumstance, is that you've become a case now. So Professor McDonald might address, and I know I will in mine.
Chris McDonald?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a great teaching example, a great way of illustrating how issues that, you know, on the one hand seem very, I mean, it's very easy to take for granted, sort of basic procedural things and things like avoiding conflict of interest and, you know, besides, we're all people of good integrity, things like that. And you can see how these situations sort of end up blowing up.
Chris McDonald, Richard LeBlanc, thanks very much for taking our call on this.
My pleasure.
My pleasure, Stephanie.